Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. Father, we just thank you right now. Holy Spirit, fill this place up with you. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. We just give you praise, Lord. And we just thank you for your anointing to be in here and your just a presence of your peace and your power. Oh, to be in here tonight, Lord. And we just thank you for what you're going to do. Set us free from the love of money, Father God. Set us free to serve only you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I'm going to just share a little bit of a crazy, really crazy couple days. I won't get into all of it. It's been more intense than I look at life like this. If my biggest trial where God's working in me is while I'm renovating a house, how awesome is that? Amen. I'm going to get a great result at the end, and nobody's in the hospital, and I'm not worrying about bills, and everything seems to be pretty good, except for God works on us, you know, constantly wherever we're at. And so, anyway, so this whole bathroom renovation thing has been a real interesting thing. So, and it kind of set me up for tonight's teaching. So, basically, I'm really good at visionary stuff and spending the money. You know, I'm really good at looking at picture after picture and picture and what vanity I want and how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that and the marble floor and all this stuff. So I jumped into this project and I'm picking all this stuff out. Well, you guys know my husband, he's an engineer, and so he's like tearing everything apart. And so at one point he was just working really hard getting the bathroom stuff down, and it's a whole story anyway. We found out it was a cast iron tub, which is worth a lot, but not after you take a hacksaw to it. So anyhow, ruined cast iron tub, which you then can't get out very easily, because when you use the sledgehammer to try to get it out, it starts to crack the ceiling underneath it. So anyway, So it didn't crack, but it's close. So anyway, so we're like, oh, we got this really nice expensive tub that if we just had it redone in a nice normal color, because that was the season of the 70s in the olive green. Deep olive. It's like, why would you put a tub in that's to last forever and make it a trendy color? That is like so bad. But anyhow, so that's not even the real story. That's part two. That'll be next time I talk. But anyhow, so we're doing all these things. So my husband's figuring all this out. And he's found out that this tub is not what he thought. Because, you know, a regular tub, you go crack it a few times, take it downstairs, it's gone. Not this tub. So it's still there. But anyhow, they broke a couple blades of something trying to cut it apart. But we cut it too much to fix it. Yeah, you can see through parts of it now. So anyhow, so. And so then, oh, what a story. So, and I got a really prophetic message for all this, but I'll share it another time. So I'm all about pick out the vanity because I found a piece of marble and it's hard to find a piece of remnant marble. So anyway, I'm thinking, okay, we've got to use this marble and I've got to give them a deposit, but I've got to know the size of the vanity and that this piece of marble will fit. It's very hard to find a remnant of marble. The difference between a remnant of marble and a whatever of marble is $720 installed and everything done versus $7,000 just for the marble, okay? So you got a really big money difference here. So I'm thinking, okay, well, then I found really good marble you can actually buy with some of the ones, but that's a whole story. I'm the expert now on cabinets. So if anybody needs a nice cabinet, come talk to me. I'll tell you what websites to go to. Of course, nobody has samples of these. No matter, I drove far. Nobody has samples of pre-made ones. So you're hoping and looking, and a lot of them you can't return. So I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, what are we going to do? So I'm really looking. I am driving my husband bonkers with this. While his brain is like, how do I get rid of that tub out of the bathroom? And I just tore down the walls. And how am I going to move this? And all the work stuff. And I'm sitting there like, honey, you got to look at these vanities because I got to find one because I found this piece of marble. And he's like, Cindy, we're like way away from all that. I said, yeah, but one's on back order. And you know, and I'm thinking this is going to be done in 6 weeks. Well, I am not thinking that anymore. So, and the thing is, my husband works full time, and I already got a name of somebody from Alex who's going to do the marble tile and everything, but I got to get closer to the right date. And my visionary gift makes me think everything's easy. And then everybody else does it to say, this isn't easy. So anyway, so I am looking and looking. I'm talking, my eyes hurt. I was looking so much at vanities and trying to get the right one. And so I pick out this one style, and John's like, please, not that style. It reminds me of grandmother. I don't want to do that. I said, it's marble. You're supposed to have mahogany. No. So I'm like, okay, never mind. So we went with a more casual style, which I like because I like coastal. But anyhow, so we finally get him to say, okay, the marble's good and that vanity's good. I order the piece of furniture. And so he found out he can't get rid of the tub yet, so my son comes over to help, so they're going to get rid of the vanity. So guess what? He's like, Cindy, could you come clear out the vanity? I'm like, now? Clear out the vanity. I'm like, fine, honey. There is a vent in the vanity this big. I called Caleb. Caleb's like, oh, that's got to be the vent to the stove in the kitchen underneath the bathroom. Okay, well, the piece I bought had a, it's a new kind, you know, it's like it's two drawers on top and then the rack, and you put towels and baskets on the rack. You can't have a big vent coming straight up through the rack. So I'm like, oh, well, fortunately, where I bought it from lets you cancel. So I'm like, oh no, what am I gonna do now? I got the tile. And I'm thinking, so I pushed it. I said, John, get up here and look at this thing in the vanity. Cindy, I'm so tired, because he played with the tub all day. So come and look at this thing. And I'm really getting kind of pushy. I'm thinking, I haven't been pushy like this for a long time. What is happening? I'm thinking, I feel like Linda. I'm just kidding. So I'm getting this pushy thing, and I'm like, what is this? I haven't seen this in a long time. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And then John comes upstairs. He goes, oh, I can't handle this now, you know. And I'm like, but I need the vanity done. And I'm like, he said, Cindy. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, okay, God. So I go in my prayer room. I'm like, okay, God, I have lost grace. I am acting crazy. I am putting stress all over my husband. This is not making an A on this test. I didn't do great on the kitchen test. I'm being retested. I've already made a D, but you can do extra credit and get your grade up, right? So I'm like, Lord, I need some extra credit now, which believe me, I've had opportunity. I'll tell you about my extra credit opportunity, which I did get an A. So I'm like, okay, all right. I said, God, God, why am I like this? Can I just give everybody listening, everybody here, if you want to change, only let God deal with you. And quit pretending it's okay when it's control and not the Holy Spirit. Quit pretending it's okay when it's based on, instead of Holy Spirit opening the doors and making the way and it's happening, okay? So, and I remember, I think I told you all, I had a dream right before all of this. And in the dream, I had picked out everything about the vanity. And then John came in and wanted to change everything. And in the dream, I was furious. In the dream, I just wanted to run away and not talk to him. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to let that dream come to pass. So Lord, get that out of my heart. And I'm sitting here living out this dream. Like, what is going on here? So I passed on that part when he didn't like the vanity. I picked out all. So I'm like, so here's the cool part that goes along with our money teaching tonight, okay? So I'm like, God, what is in my heart that is bringing this control thing back up, that's causing strife and tension in the house? Here my husband is, after working a really difficult job that takes a truckload of thinking, 5 days a week, and every night he's working on this, and he's coming and doing all this, and I'm like, really, and we're doing real good with all that, but here I am now stressing him out and closing him down over this problem with the vanity, that if I hadn't jumped way ahead of everything, he would have said, let's take out the vanity. Oh, look, we're going to have to do this when we buy a new vanity. So I felt, why did I waste so much time? So I'm like, okay, God, show me what's in my heart. Have me know if you open up your heart to hear God and you ask the true and living God, who, number one, never tells you in a way to condemn you. Amen? If what is talking to you is making you feel bad and condemned, it's not God. Quit calling it God. If you call that voice God, you will go into torment. Okay? Let me tell you real simple what torment is. Torment is listening to the devil. And it will take your sound mind if you listen to the devil and start thinking it's God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. So fear of doing it wrong, fear of being condemned, fear of messing up, that fear-based voice talking to you is a demonic spirit of condemnation, a false judge who has the intentions of taking your sound mind. And this is happening all over the body of Christ. Amen? So you're going to have ears to hear how the true and living God talks. Amen? You're going to have to know that you know that it is the voice of God. And so you need to recognize, you need to get back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see Jesus. He's not a condemning God. Amen? He's not the only spirit that he really socks it to is a religious spirit. It's a spirit that acts like it's speaking for God, and it's not with the heart of God. Amen? So recognize it, and we've had people struggling with that in this ministry. A few people, like, everything they read, oh my gosh, God told me this is why. So let me tell you, if you listen to teaching where God wants to bring conviction and heal the brokenness in you, and you let the enemy get in charge of that, you're going to live in a place of feeling like you're doing something wrong. Amen? We talked about this before, and that, go re-listen to the teaching on YouTube. It's the YouTube channel, Cindy Foster dash Beauty Freshness Ministries. And it talks about, how can you tell if you're in revelation or if you're in condemnation? The devil uses the word of God. Amen? So just because it's the word of God that's running through your mind, or you're reading the word of God, it doesn't mean it's God. It's when the Holy Spirit is bringing that to you. And the Holy Spirit is full of compassion. And Jesus paid for your punishment. So when you get broken, it's so you repent. And it's over. Satan has no rights, no authority. He's not. So listen to it. Because I'm telling you, if you live in condemnation, even really good revelation teaching, which we do here, the enemy's going to try to twist that and cause you to lose your sound mind. Don't call the devil God. Amen? And God is a good God. God loves you. God's for you. He's not against you. God died for you. He wants to change your heart, not so the devil can't hurt you. He wants to change your heart so you can get close to him. Because when I'm hidden in Christ, and I know who I am in Christ, and I have authority over the evil one in Christ, amen, then the devil is really not of a bother to me. He's under my feet. I do what God tells me to do. I walk it out and see it. So anyway, back to our story. So here I'm thinking, so can we get, will you, don't spiritualize a lack of peace. Don't spiritualize it. Don't let your brain come up with reasons. Don't blame anybody, okay? That wasn't a big amen. Don't blame anybody, okay? Stop and realize, okay, the God who died to set me free from the fear of punishment, the God who died to undo the works of the enemy, my Lord Jesus Christ, who loves me so much that he undid this work of torment. He undid this work of shame. He undid this work of sickness. He undid this work of condemnation. He's undone that work. Amen? Get that. Get a bumper sticker or something. Write it on your t-shirt. He has undone sickness. He has undone condemnation. He has undone shame. He has undone failure. He has undone poverty. He has undone it. It's been undone by the work of Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus came to undo the works of the enemy. He came to undo mental unsoundness. He came to undo sickness. He never, ever puts it on us. Amen? Never. Everything he's about is undoing what the enemy's done. not agreeing with me. God does not want the enemy talking to you. Period. It doesn't even matter if what he says has some truth to it, because he uses a partial truth and he twists it, even when he tempted Eve. Amen? He uses a partial truth. So you've got to know his voice. You've got to know the voice of God and not follow another voice. Don't keep thinking on it. Don't listen till it's finished. Don't give any verbiage to the dreams or anything he gives you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You want to get out of torment? Quit calling the devil God. Quit talking with him. Quit associating with him. Quit coming in agreement. God, he has nothing to do with your deliverance. Satan has nothing to do with your deliverance. He has no opinion in it. Amen? So we're not talking to him. The only thing we ever say to him is, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And you can release punishment according to the word of God. Amen? That's it. That's the only conversation you should ever have with the enemy. Get thee behind me, Satan. Shut up in Jesus' name. You have no authority here. Just for trying to take that authority, I'm asking the most powerful being of all universe, one who's never been created but is the creator, to punish you on the day of judgment with the punishment of Lucifer, because it must be the worst thing, and that's what I'm asking. Now shut up in Jesus' name and don't bother me again. I just bind you. You have no authority. That's the only way to ever talk to the devil. Ever. You don't have to say much. There's really about one conversation with him, and that was it. Amen? Amen. 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 Period. He's not, oh, you're so bad. Shut up, devil. I rebuke you. And you don't have to sit there and justify to him why you're so bad or you're not so bad. Don't talk to him. Amen? Amen? Amen. If he's talking loud in your head, just get some scripture. What is that? The sword of the Spirit. If you talk to the enemy, you only do it the way Jesus did it. It is written. No weapon formed against me will prosper. It is written. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. It is written. So find some of your it is written scriptures for the things that attack you. It is written. Jesus Christ has come to undo your works. Amen. So shut up. They're undone because he's already paid the price. Okay, you have to take the upper hand when you are in spiritual warfare against the enemy. Amen? Now, you only can't do that if you still believe his lies. There's so much shame. I don't know how to do anything right. Stop it! Because you empower him to still have authority in your life. Amen? So I'm just... I can't tell you but to tell you, this is how you do it. There's no other way to do it. It's what the word says. We have to do it the way Jesus did it. Amen? And the torment that came at him, nothing that's come at us compares to what came at him. Amen? So if you've got to do what he did, led by the same Holy Spirit that he was led by. Period. Period. There's no other way to do it. A prayer line won't, Jesus didn't go say, I'm going to go stand in a prayer line and see if somebody prayed for it. Now, prayer lines are awesome. I mean, when Holy Spirit does something, it was powerful in here Sunday morning, and I don't know who decided to receive, because it was all over the place. So those who chose to receive, how do you receive? I believe God. I just believe God. And then you back the devil down. I remember I got touched by God Sunday morning, and I know that thing came out. You can't come back in. You have no authority in Jesus' name. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm free. Okay, so back to my story. This is my teaching tonight. So I'm asking God, and I really don't have a clue, why am I acting like this? I know it wasn't peaceful. It wasn't at insanity, but mainly because I was asking God. But I didn't like that it was something trying to hurt the teamwork that God is working in my marriage in a powerful way. So I'm like, okay, God, what is wrong with me? Why? I said, I know what control looks like, but I let go of that. I said, I know what, so why in this situation is it still seeming to be there? And he said, because why are you trying to get this done now? I said, well, because that piece of marble is the only piece of marble for a good price that I can find right now. Even though since then I found a whole website full where they give you good marble. But anyway, And I said, and God, this new table that I just found that will work with that vent thing, hopefully, it's $800 off if we buy it before the sale's off. So God says, so you're doing this because of money. I said, well, you know it's smart to save money. God says, I didn't ask you if it's smart to save money. I asked you, what is pushing you that you're pushing your husband? Everybody go and say, oh, ouch. Whoa. What is pushing you that you're pushing your husband? I said, well, I'm trying to save him money. I didn't ask you what you're trying to do. I asked you, what is the factor in this that is causing strife? What is the part going on in you? So how many know that sometimes it's a good thing, but the wrong spirit? Everybody's raising their hand, yeah, but $800, that is a lot. And acting like, it's got to be done now. It's got to be done now. So I'm like, oh, okay, God, I'm kind of getting this. He said, it's that poverty mentality again. If you were extremely rich, believe me, John and I, not everybody could say this, but John and I could afford the $800 difference. Not that we want to spend it that way. But it's not like, oh, if we don't get this, we'll get anything. Like I was like, you know you're going to get a vanity. You know you'll get some marble top. You'll know this will all work out, whether it's now or 3 months from now. You know it. So why are you striving with this? I don't know. So he had me look up, he had me go to the teaching and a book that I had been reading. Let me say, a book I didn't like, so I won't say the name of the book. And when I read it before, there was just parts I just didn't like. And probably some of those parts were things I probably need to let break through. And some of it I really don't agree with. So I turned to that book. And it talks again about the pauper, which is someone who feels like there's never enough. It's the opposite of abundance. It's living in a never enough mentality. There's never enough. There's never going to be enough money for you to go to Israel, you think. There's never going to be enough money for me to go on the mission trips I want to go on. There's never going to be enough money for me to have anything nice. There's never going to be enough. It's a mentality. It's a poverty mentality that there's never going to be enough. Instead of what we talked about in one of our first teachings on this money one, right? Abundance. The abundance mentality that there is more than enough. There's enough and some to spread out. And let me tell you, this is spiritual because John and I could buy whichever vanity we want. So the poverty push is on, yeah, but don't waste the money. I waste money all the time. I'm not bragging, I just do sometime. But I live within our means, but I'm just saying, so it's not like I have this thing where I can't not spend a single penny wrong. For me, God says, when it's a sale, when you find something that looks more expensive, that you're getting a really good sell on, so you're getting a good deal. Lord said, when you're getting a good deal, this crazy thing takes over in you. Come on. Everybody act all innocent. And God doesn't want us to be wasteful. We are to be good stewards. The difference is, what is the Spirit pushing you? Is it the Holy Spirit who makes a way where there seems to be no way? Is the Holy Spirit going, oh, this is great? Or is it a demonic spirit trying to bring strife into the situation, pressure, intensity, and get you totally out of God's will? Can y'all get that? Two exact things can look the same. But as believers in Jesus Christ, led by the Spirit of the living God, he wants to be in charge of leading us. Amen? And so it's like, okay, God. So I say, okay, God. So what do? You recognize it and you say, I hate this. I don't care which vanity that we end up with God. It's not more important than having peace in my home. It's not more important than, it's not worth attacking my husband's self-esteem or getting him into a place of stress or whatever. This is not the priority right now, and I'm taking something and making it not a fun thing. So I apologized to him. And to which he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, well, I really pushed you about this thing, and I really shouldn't have. He goes, oh, that's fine. And he kind of smiled like, I think he smiled that smile like, oh, God's working on her. Yes. You know, kind of like that. Oh, okay. I wasn't expecting that. You've been living like this for years with, we got to go see this now. We got to get this one right now. So I'm like, oh, humble yourself. Amen. Humble yourself. So I'm like, okay, God. And I just laid it down. I said, I don't even want any vanity till it's the right time. And you have to be the one to show me. And if you want us to keep that piece of marble, they'll let us keep it. And they gave us a couple more weeks to make a decision. But there's other, you're in charge, God. You're in charge. And it's not worth this lack of peace. Guard your heart with peace. Okay? When your heart is not being guarded by peace, the enemy is in charge. Okay, now let me tell you how cool God is. During that same time while he's trying to make this point clear, and I love that God can use everyday stuff to purge us and change our hearts, amen? It doesn't need to be, thank God, a horrible trial. I've had those. I would prefer a day-to-day walk with a God who is sincere about changing me into his likeness, amen? And if you would walk in that walk and deal with your junk, you won't be hit straight on with these big deals. Because first of all, if the enemy tries to hit you, you'll know what to do with it. Amen? And the big deal turns into a miracle for the glory of God. Amen? But if you just keep ignoring these little things and justifying these little things and talking yourself out of dealing with these little things, then you're going to hit that big thing. Amen? You're going to hit that big thing. And so God wants you to change in these situations. He wants you to deal with passive aggressiveness. He wants you to deal with being loud and in somebody's face. He wants you to deal with being controlling. He wants you to deal with your love of money. God wants to lead us, not the love of money. So during this whole thing, I'm listening to Graham Cook. And I told everybody, and I don't mind promoting this on here, you can go to, what is it, Spotify or something? It's an app, Spotify. And it's free app, and it's iPod, it's what do they call them, podcast. So you can go on there, and Graham Cook's on there. He has a whole series on faith that is very good. Some of it I don't totally agree with, but most of it is really, really good. And so I go right to some of the scriptures about this whole thing about faith and some of these things. So how many know God likes to come at us from all different angles and all different teaching and all different things? I mean, has anybody noticed that? That knows you're really being taught by God. Amen? He really wants us to be taught by him. So anyways, I'm listening to the teaching on faith, and walking out in faith. And so he talks about, and this is another money thing. This goes along with this. Let me finish the one story real fast. So I'm cool with that. So let me just tell you what happened yesterday. So Sunday night, that all happened Saturday night. Sunday night, I come home, like, okay, it's all done. You know, don't even worry about the vanity. It's all cool. So I decide I'm going to take down the wallpaper. He said, well, get the wallpaper down. We'll save a little bit of money not putting up new drywall. And then he was going to plaster over this really ugly textured stuff. Okay, so I'm like, okay, I can do this. So I go get every little thing you're supposed to get, and I'm just working away at it. And I worked for like 3 hours. Well, I noticed the plaster starts peeling off, like over the whole thing. And I'm like, hey, John, this is just coming right off. Well, he hated the texture, so I'm thinking, well, I'll just peel it all off, which is a really big job, actually. So instead of just doing a border, I'm working on these whole two walls, 7 hours yesterday, 3 hours the night before, getting all the plaster off. They had wallpaper. They had plastered over wallpaper. Not one layer, two layers. So I'd take off one layer, and I'd be like, phew, and there's another whole layer. And I'd take off another layer, and I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. And I'm thinking, when does this sit? So I think I'm down to the drywall, and because it's kind of white looking. And then I bust through to another layer. I'm like, oh, no, am I now messing up the drywall? Because I don't know anything. So Jack goes, no, this is the real drywall. You know, be careful with this. And he goes, how long have you been doing? I said, 7 hours I've been doing this. And I still got another whole layer to get all that off. And I'm only on two little walls. There's still two big walls. And I'm like, and John's like, you know, gosh, I feel really bad. You worked so hard on this. But I think it'd only take me a day to drywall. So if you'd rather help me with drywalling, we can just kick this off in a day, because this is in such bad shape, we probably need new wallpaper. And I'm like, okay, God, I have wasted at least 3 full days on this. That's add up to nothing. Well, it's not really true that add up to nothing. Number one, if John had tried to put the plaster on there, not realizing it, it would have been too heavy. And we'd have done all that work and the whole stuff would have more than likely sagged. And if you're married to an engineer like I am, they would have found out. And so it would have had to happen. So he was like, well, he goes, well, the good thing about this is I now really know we really have to redo these walls. And I really got an A on this test, okay? Because I was really, that's fine. I was so tired just standing there. I kind of like that kind of work because you don't think. And if you have a non-thinking job, there's some really good benefits to that. Because I have a very thinking job. My job is always a thinking job. I'm always talking to somebody about their problem or how to do this problem or how to go. I got like 4 major, I'm laughing about this and they're laughing at me at the office because I'm getting ready to go to the Philippines. We're getting ready to have a guest speaker and we're getting ready to have a women's conference. And I decide this is the week I'm going to take down wallpaper in the bathroom. And I got a pack. And I also bought tickets for Brazil. So anyhow, so I'm like, Lord, help me. So while God's teaching me this, I spend in the middle of the night with Karen on the phone, late at night, looking for the Brazil tickets. Because Stacey Campbell said you need your airline tickets first before you get your visa. And Karen and I are back and forth trying to get this. I'm really looking. My eyes hurt from looking at 500 or more vanities, for real. And now I'm on the internet looking. Oh my God. And the prices were through the roof. I'm talking about, so it was like a 12-hour layover in Orlando, so maybe I get a price cheaper if I fly to Orlando, and I'm doing all these things. Like, I'm like, okay, I've had it. What am I doing again? But what am I doing? You're trying to save money. You have a poverty mentality. I know we have the money for this. The ministry has the money in the bank for this. But it's like, that poverty mentality says, I can't spend it on this. If I know I can get it cheaper, I've got to get it cheaper. Everybody's looking. Some people are like, Carrie's like, I don't have this. Not a problem. I can hit that little buy button just like that. That's another whole problem when we get to that part of money. This is for those on the other side. We are on this side of, oh, I just can't spend that much. How many are more on this side? How many are more on, oh, just hit the button, who cares? A couple of people. All right. How many on the side, oh, hit the button, who cares, have a debt problem? Don't even raise your hands, okay? I will say I do not have a debt problem at all, okay? But because it is a striving and stress problem, it's not of God, amen? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm wasting 4 more hours, and I can't stand it. It's like I want to at least get a ticket before I get off of there. But the prices are crazy. They're like $16,000 to $24,000 a ticket. I need 2 of them. I'm like, oh, just put it away. So I'm like, God, so the Lord, it's after that actually that God starts showing me all this. That was on the same night after that. So God starts showing me all this. So I'm like, okay, I just break the power. Get this out of my heart, God. Get this out of my heart. I'm not going to fly to Orlando, drive to Orlando, then get tickets from here, and then come back and spread this out and take my suitcases in and out and this. I'm not doing it. Whatever I got to pay, I'm not doing it. So I'm like, oh, set me free, God, set me free. And the Lord's like, get in the abundance. Get excited when this is spiritual, because then you can do something about it that changes everything. So I'm like, okay, God, just get this. I don't want this thing. I don't want to serve money. I mean, I don't think we're going to get to it tonight, but the topic, and when I get back in town in 2 weeks, we will really talk about the love of money and how it is the root of evil. And we started that last week a little bit. But that's what this is. Sometimes it's not about, oh, I got to have more. The love of money is very deep in how it's, it goes on the, you can have everything, and the thing we thought about people who want riches, you know, so there's different ways on this. Amen? So we're going to look at all those, right? We're going to deal with all of our stuff and the people listening and watching on Facebook Live or the web, because we need to see this stuff and hate it. Amen? Because I do not want to serve mammon and God. Actually, you cannot serve both. God will bring this to a showdown. There is going to be a showdown in everybody's life who's serious about God. There's going to be a showdown. And in that showdown, you're going to have to deal with your heart issues that are tied to money. Amen? Both on the extremely frugal side, but not led of God, and also on the debt side, and just spend whatever and worry about it later side. The uncertainty of riches side, which we talked about last week a little bit. Amen? I was like, God, is there anybody else that when this all happened, don't you just want to say, forget it? I'm just so tired of money. I'm just so tired of thinking like this. I'm so tired of worrying about this. I'm just tired of trying to make the bills work or this and that. I'm so tired of trying to get the best price. Okay, please jump into that with the I have decided to hate the love of money. Don't wait till you're in a bankruptcy. Don't wait until you're not sleeping at night. Don't wait until they come to get your car. Don't wait until everybody around you doesn't even want to shop with you or be around you because you're so frugal and crazy about it. Amen? A lot of the husbands are going, amen, preach it now. Although it can be just as much on the other side. Amen? So, they say, I don't know how true it is, but the statistic is one of the main reasons for divorce is money. So, that's a really big deal. It's a really big deal when you're led by money. And it looks like little strife things here and there, but the real truth is it's part of the spirit in charge. Amen? And we want to get free from that. So, that night, I'm like, forget it, God. I just give it all to you. Well, this is so funny. The next day, after I really gave it to God, I'm not doing this anymore. I will pay the highest price ticket if that's what I need to get. I will just think about the vanity when the time comes and get whatever I need. I'm okay. I just let go of it. So the next day, you know how our phones know what we're doing, right? If you got a computer or a phone with a computer in it, they know what you're doing. So this thing pops up on there about this great app for finding airfare. And I got to tell you, it's really good. But let me go on this trip in Brazil first to find out that it's really good. So anyway, so the day before when I struggled and struggled, I found out the names of the airlines that were cheaper that are Latino airlines and all this stuff. This app pops up if you want to do international flights. I got an $1,150 airline ticket, including everything. With one push of a button, they gave me every single one that came up and gave me what company I wanted to work through to get it. The whole thing took less than a half hour. Guys, I've been getting booking tickets and trying to get the best price, and I usually spend, you can ask Nicole, her or I, or the combination, we spend 4 to 5 to 6 hours to get a good airline ticket. And this thing came, it was almost so easy. I was like, oh my, where's the catch? And hopefully there isn't one, but I got the tickets. But the Lord's like, no. You gave it to me. And on this day, at that particular time, those tickets had dropped $400 a piece. So out of Richmond, we're going for a lower price ticket, really, than I could have gotten trying to wiggle around and fly to Orlando and everything else. Okay, isn't God amazing? The same God will show us the right vanity at the right time. The same God will take care of you. What does he say? He cares for what you care about. He cares about it. So it's control. And one of the things that causes us to be controlling is the love of money or money in charge or how am I going to pay this or how am I going to do this? One of the biggest things that causes a lot of problems and strife in marriages or any relationship, even with kids, is when people choose to spend the money differently. Amen? And especially if you have one person who has the, I can have everything, we'll work it out later. And then the other person is like, how are we going to make this all work out? When you get two extremes following the same spirit, you're in for major collision. If you just have two spending everything, you're looking at a bankruptcy. You're looking at being shamed. You're looking at maybe losing everything and really seeing where the love of money has taken you. Amen? If you've got two people who are so tight about everything, you're going to have kids who'll think they're poor. You're going to have kids with a poverty spirit hanging over them. You're going to have, has anybody watched that, what is it called, Extreme Cheapskate show? Oh my gosh, it's so disgusting. You know, if sometimes it's good to watch some of these shows because it makes you, I am not, Lord, set me free from that. I do not want to go where people are reusing their hand towels. I mean, I'm talking paper towels. Amen. They have some pretty, and watch that movie about Buried Alive or the hoarding TV thing. If that doesn't make you clean your house and help you want to give away stuff here for the giveaway once a year, nothing will. There's something mentally wrong with you that the enemy has gotten inside of you when you have so much clutter and junk that it becomes a hassle. You are living under a poverty mentality called the love of money, even when you're spending a ton of money. Stuff is owning you instead of you owning stuff and being able to be a giver and being able to get rid of stuff and being able to say no, amen, and not be wasteful. And so God really wants us to be good stewards. God wants to deal with these issues, and you know why? It's not because of money. According to his word, he wants us to deal with these issues so he can give us more important things, which are souls. God looks at how you handle money and how you get free from the bondage of serving the spirit of mammon. He looks at how you get free from that as to if he can entrust souls to you. The Bible says so. We'll find it. I'm not looking at the scripture right now, but it's in there. He really looks to see if he can trust you with important stuff. Money is not important to God. He's got all their, he's got everything. Amen? So souls are important to God. They're eternal. They're eternal. And people have substitute the love of money and stuff over relationship. And it's all over our culture. It's all over. It is the main cause behind abortion. Believe it or not, the love of money is the main cause behind abortion. This isn't convenient. What do you mean it's not convenient? Well, I want to have my education. I want to have my job. I want to have my parents will be burdened to pay for this if you're a teenager. The main thing behind it is the love of money. It's a horrible spirit. Amen? It's a really strong, it's called mammon, and God calls it a god, and very rare does he call anything that. And so I want to encourage everybody, let's hate it without a gigantic mess. For some of you, like, too late. But hallelujah that God can cause us to hate what he hates, amen, and not cling to money. Just, Lord, help me. Help me get free from this. And so part of it is seeing this thing. And then God is so faithful. And how many, it's so nice when he begins to set us free. So let's go to that scripture really quickly for the next 10 minutes on the love of money or the spirit of mammon, not the love of money. Let's go to the spirit of mammon. I did the love of money last week. Let me get in the literal. Matthew 6:24. Let's see what's before it. Okay. So if you look at Matthew 6, which is powerful, I know we have teaching on it. The very beginning of it tells you about prayer. Amen? And how to pray. And then it gets on to about forgiveness in 6:15. And then it talks about fasting and spiritual things. And then we get down to Matthew 6:19. So let's go there. So do not. Okay, what does do not mean? Okay, wait, everybody listen. What does do not mean when God says it? It means don't do it. Okay, so I'm about to say stuff that some of us are doing, including myself to a little bit degree. Some people in this room are doing this big time. This is a command. Matthew 6:19. Matthew 6:19. This is a command coming out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. Amen? Get it? This is a command that Jesus Christ, if he's Lord of your life, expects you to get this right. Amen? So Jesus says, do not treasure up for yourselves on this earth. In other words, let's go to Amplified and see when they like to put in the extra stuff. Do not store up for yourselves material treasures on earth. What's store up mean? Storage bins, storage space, storage units, storage rooms, storage, storage, storage. Do not. What does he say? Don't do it. Do not treasure up for yourself treasures on the earth. This is good. Now we're going to the other side of things. Amen. Do not treasure up for you treasures on this earth Moth and rust will cause them to perish, and thieves can dig through and steal. So let me tell you something about this. Ready? If you're serving the spirit of mammon, if that's behind why you store up stuff, if that's behind why you keep all this junk and store up all this junk and have all these reasons run around your head to keep all this junk. And God's been setting me free from this. That's why I love the Christmas giveaways. I need once a year where I go through every room in the house and say, okay, this has to go, this has to go, this has to go. I refuse to have my house junked up. Because my home, your home is to be a place for relationship. Your home is not to be a storage unit. Amen? Your home is to be a place. And God looks at the heart of this because he wants us to be people about relationship. Amen? And you don't want people have to move this and climb over this and, you know, there's no seat here and I can't get to the refrigerator and there's this. And hoarding can get really, really bad. This gets into a very demonic spirit and stronghold in people. And it's where they're trying to hold on to stuff for some reason. Amen? And you can make up a million reasons, but God says do not do it. God says do not do it. All right. If you do it, then don't expect divine protection from thieves. Don't expect God to bless your stuff. Now, when those Israelites were in the wilderness and learning to follow God and be led by God and not money, right? When they came from slavery to nothing and they had to learn to trust God to move into the abundance, the promised land, right? God took care of their stuff. So we have a promise for God to take care of our stuff. We got to get thievery out of our own hearts. But God's showing me this right now. We got to get this out of our hearts. We've got to close the door to the enemy so he cannot come in and steal from us. We have to close the door to stuff just getting wrecked and ruined and wasted because this spirit lives in our heart. Amen? So he says, do not treasure up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust can cause to perish and where thieves dig through to steal. But treasure up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust cause to perish and thieves do not dig through to steal. For where your treasure, there your heart will be also. I want you to see something with this. How do I treasure up stuff in heaven? It means I begin to see things through an eternal perspective. I see things through an eternal perspective. What really matters that cannot perish, be stolen, or rust? Salvation. God is sitting here. Care about what God cares about. He promises to take care of your need. He promises you'll have clothes. He promises you'll have food. He promises to take care of things. But care about souls. And I want this soul strong in my heart. I want this ministry to spend more of our money taking care of orphans. I really do. Whoa, I did. At first, when God told me to take care of that orphanage, I'm like, you're kidding me. Like this, that's somebody else's ministry to do. God, I've never been a missions person. It got hilarious. I've never been a missions person. Now we go to Philippines, Uganda, India, and Brazil, we're getting ready to go to, and then to Russia. And a couple of those are regular places now where we're falling in love with the people and the calling. Amen? I'm like, I wasn't a missions. We weren't going to be a missions church. If you have the heart of God, you're going to be a missions church. Because he's so clear in his word to take care of people. That's what he wants to take care of. He really cares about that more than our big buildings. He cares about that more than big fancy cars. He cares about that more than our fancy conferences and our fancy speakers and our fancy this and that. God's like, you know, in the abundance, yes, there can be a place for that, but what's in the heart of people? What's in the heart of people? Get to a place where your abundance is really for the purpose is in the heart of God. Where are your treasures? And don't judge everybody else. God's talking to you about you. If you really look at do not treasure this for yourself, you know what he's saying? You want a lot of problems? Hang on to a bunch of junk. Lord, set me so free from this. Just set me so free from this. I tell you who doesn't have this problem. My sister Donna. Her stuff could be like brand new. Y'all like the best stuff at the giveaway every year? It came out of Donna's house. It's what she decorated with 2 years ago. But I'm saying it'd be wasteful either, you know, if it's, to me, I'm buying it. It's staying for a long time. But if I buy something else for it, I need to get rid of it. Amen? Not store it somewhere like I'm ever going to go back and use it again. Or not have too much junk in the same room. Because one little bit of junk is plenty. Decorations. Amen? You've got to look at it and say, is this a vision that's going to cause people to know they are the important thing that's here? Is this going to make my spouse feel like he's the important thing here? Is this going to make my children feel like they're the important thing here? And let me say, if you do stuff where don't anybody touch it, don't get near it, something's wrong with what you're doing. And our whole culture is a culture that cares more about stuff than we care about human life, starting with abortion and ending with them now deciding if you're disabled, you don't have any value. If you're a burden on people, it's time to get you out of here. We are a culture that has completely shifted to serving mammon instead of God as we were set up to do. Amen? You talk about the horrificness of greed. When we had slavery in this nation and way back in the founding days, which is horrible, it's no less horrible to now murder babies as if they're our property, as if they're the woman's property to destroy if she doesn't want it. When you value a piece of furniture, a car, a second home, over the life of an unborn baby, something is really messed up. When you value the entitlements that the government may give you, which sincerely people might need, over the life of a baby, something is messed up. Or when we choose to conceive a baby purposely to get stuff, something is messed up. We have gotten way off track with the heart of God about life. And y'all heard my story about the situation with a relative who people were thinking, well, it'd be easier on everybody if they weren't here anymore. Who are we to decide it's going to be easy? When did God say he wants it easy on everybody? Amen? Can somebody show me the scripture where God says, I want it easy on you? I hear him say, you're going to have trouble tomorrow, but I'll have grace there to help you. If we don't understand that the treasure that God is talking about is human lives, and in America, we are one of the worst. I go to these other nations. When I go to the Philippines, I'm going to see people who don't have anywhere near what I have or you all have that are taking kids into their homes. The minimum we can do is to help them pay for that. We could clear out the foster care system and even refuse to take the government money for that and change lives. We're the ones who know how to cast out demons, supposedly. We're the ones who know how to heal the brokenhearted. We're the ones who could give these people, these young people, an opportunity to have a real life and a real family and not be bounced from place to place and get whatever money they give you. And I'm okay with them helping people out to do that. I'm not okay if you're doing it for money because you're serving the wrong God. Amen? Our hearts are so wrong because of the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Serving mammon is the biggest issue in everybody's heart. And it can look like poverty, and it can look like having your own treasures on things that don't matter. All right? Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So I'm asking God to get my heart in a place where human lives are so much more important to me than stuff or lifestyle. And it's got to be real, and he's got to be the one to do it. He goes, the lamp of the body is the eye. Then if the eye is sound, the whole body is light. So if you're seeing these things correctly, then you're going to have a lot of light. If your perception is wrong, if your perception about spiritual things and spiritual duties and what's important and what's not important, if those things are wrong, then your whole body is dark. If your eye is evil, if you perceive things incorrectly, if you perceive things from the love of money, if you perceive things from the spirit of mammon, and your eye is evil, your whole body is dark. And God can even say this over a lot of the whole body of Christ. Amen? But if the light in you is dark, how great is the darkness? When you start spiritualizing the wrong understanding and making it like it's God, how dark is that? How dark is it when Christians are okay about abortion? How dark is it? How dark is it when we have no compassion for people? How dark is it when we're okay with the suffering people are going through and we don't even want God's power to change it? And then he goes on from there. He goes, no one, how many? No one, zero. No one is able to serve two lords. You know, a big part of our issue, a big part of the people in the body of Christ and everywhere, the big reason God is not giving us a end time move of his spirit with the big revival that everybody's talking about, one of the biggest things holding back an awakening in our nation is the serving of two gods. How do you know? Look at the price they charge you to go to a conference. Look at what the book table costs. And the truth is, where is the heart of the people? Are we in this for business? I think I posted today. What did I post? It was kind of good. I forgot. I'll have to look. But it had something to do with, are you really wanting to be close to God or something like that? Or do you really want a career in ministry? Yeah, something like, are you looking for a career in ministry? Or do you really just want the will of God? I think this was, do you really want the will of God? Or do you want a career in ministry? Do you really want the will of God, or do you just want a nice life with lots of stuff? Or just get by life with little stuff and living in poverty, barely getting by? God's like, you cannot serve two lords. For either you will hate one and you will love the other, you will cleave to one, you will despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And the other scripture did was, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It's behind all your evil actions. Look at this. No one is able to serve two lords. How many know he means no one? How many know he means you? No one is able to serve two lords. For either he will hate one. Wow. And he will love the other. That's how extreme it's going to go. You are either going to totally, and remember last week we talked about those who want to be rich have actually gotten strayed from true faith, and they start thinking it's God. God's making this opportunity. God's doing this. No. You are serving mammon. You're trying to have money. You're trying to take care of yourself. You're trying to prove something. Amen. And you're now spiritualizing it. Ooh, that's a bad place to be. No one is able to serve two lords. He will either hate one and he'll love the other. Think about that a minute. And he just told you about treasuring up junk, and he just told you about this heart. What is he saying? He's saying, look, if you don't deal with this, you're going to hate God. You're going to hate Jesus Christ. You're going to get bitter and angry with God. Think about that. That's why he says, I want you either hot or cold. I don't want you lukewarm. I don't want you acting like or thinking that you can actually serve me and money. I don't want you thinking it's okay to barely be a Christian and really be about the world. I want to throw you up. I'm going to make you choose. You will have to choose. You will either choose the God of this world, money and wealth, and the world system, or you will choose the Holy Spirit and the Lordship of Jesus Christ, whatever that looks like in your life. Amen? You will choose that. No one is able to serve two lords, for he will hate the one and love the other. That's kind of scary. How many people fall off and end up hating God, bitter towards God, and loving money and success and riches and fame. Or he's going to cleave to one and despise the other. Let me suggest very strongly that we choose to love God and cleave to God. And the way you cleave to God is to obey him. The way you love him is to obey him, even when it hurts. Go and find out why you treasure up for yourself treasures on earth. Go and find out. Get real about it. God, help me with this. Fast it. Give away stuff. Look what he said to that rich guy who said, what do I do to serve you? What can I do? Take all that you have and sell it. What? What's God saying? You cannot follow and love me and follow and love that. Pick. How many know that this is the real problem in Western Christianity? How many will admit this is a real problem in your life? How many know only God can change that? How many know we have to ask him to? And we have to choose to agree with him. And even while we're saying that, it's a scary thing. Now, let me say, if you don't have any money and you think that's right, no, you live in a poverty mentality. You don't understand this abundant, powerful God, and you would be less likely to handle money well. You would quickly not be led by the Spirit in handling money because you haven't even educated yourself or been trained up with the one talent he's given you to be able to handle 10 talents. If he's given you a little, then he wants you to increase. If you're not increasing, you couldn't handle a lot. Amen? He's looking at what you're doing with what you have. And he sees an abundance even for those who are given a little. Because it's all about a heart. It's about a heart that says, God, I'm doing this is unto you. Just like he saw that woman in scripture, who gave that little tiny offering, but it was more than the richest person in there gave based on the heart. Amen? I'm not there yet, okay? I'm not there yet. I will be honest with this. This whole money thing for me has been something God's been dealing with for 25 years. But I want to get there. I want to get to this place of freedom. I'm not talking running away from responsibility. I'm not talking about, I don't think I can succeed or I don't want to work hard, so therefore I'm going to go into ministry and live a life in poverty and run off to a third world nation. Because there's people who do that. God knows it. It's a very dangerous place to be. He's talking about you have something, you lay it down. And you go because you've chosen to follow him. Amen. It's amazing with every situation you look at, you can't judge it because it honestly can be what God is doing. It honestly can be God saying, I want you living in that fancy neighborhood. I want you having that kind of authority. How many know that there's certain people like Lance who's right where God wants him to be? Amen. He doesn't want only poor Christians saved. He wants everybody saved. He doesn't want only poor people saved. He wants everybody saved. He wants everybody influenced. You're going to be in some positions. How many are glad that we have a very spirit-filled Christian vice president? Amen. Well, he didn't get there, you know, living in a poverty mentality. He didn't get there living an uneducated life. He didn't get there living like that. And a lot of people were showing the difference between Billy Graham's house and some of these leaders today's mansions. Literally mansions look like Hollywood movie star gigantic mansions. And Billy Graham has a normal house. It's not a little teeny house. It's just a normal, nice, middle-class house. It was the difference. You know he had the money, or he could have. He used it a different way. And so God is really wanting to shake. God cannot pour out his spirit on our nation and the church and most ministries the way it is today, including me, until I get this out of my heart. It's like, God, I've been through so much to get this out of my heart. I've lost so much to get this out of my heart. I want this out of my heart. not a poverty mentality, like I got to give everything away, you know, as a sacrifice and I can't have anything. A really Spirit-led life. I want a Spirit-led life. Amen? I want to be content. I want the darkness out. I know this. I love Jesus, and I'm cleaving to him. And whatever he has to separate from me and get out of me, I want it done. Amen? Because of this, I say to you, look at this. Oh, no, so he goes, you are not able to serve God and wealth. You cannot do it. You cannot serve God and wealth. Let me look at what the literal is. Not the literal. Let me look at what that wealth word means. You cannot serve God and mammon, which means wealth, avarice. Avarice is wanting what other people have, never being content, never having enough. And this word is worked. This word mammon is worked in a way to personify money. In other words, it gives a personality to money and wealth. In other words, it's a demonic spirit that has a personality behind it called Satan. He goes on, he goes, are not able to serve God and wealth. Now, we'll talk about it next time because we're going to get into groups. And so we're going to pick this up. Somebody remind me on Matthew 6:25, and we're going to talk about worry and fear and struggling and striving that comes as an indicator that we're serving wealth. And yay, we're going to take up the offering. But so we want somebody. I love this place. Somebody holds up the offering because their treasure's right. I'm putting this into missions. I'm putting this into what God wants to do. And I will say this with all my heart, and I mean this. I'm not trying to have a bigger building. I just would like this one full. I wouldn't mind seeing this one full 3 times on Sunday. I wouldn't mind seeing this full 7 times a week as long as other people are using it and ministering. I do not want a big fancy building. I'm not like, oh, we have this building. I'm not ashamed of this building. I think this is an awesome building. I'm just so content to be where God's placed us. That is sincere. Same with my home and the other stuff. I'm very content. God wants us to be content. But now we need to believe for abundance. We need to believe, not abundance for us to get a fancy building. I just want abundance for us to win souls. I want abundance to reach more people. I want abundance to make an impact with what God has given us for his glory and his purposes. And I mean that with all my heart. So as we get ready to give, and as those who are watching, you can go to the donate button on there. If you're on Facebook Live, you can't, but you can go to beautyfreshes.org. And the truth is, we want to go to the nations. We want to go to this trip to the Philippines and be a blessing. Amen? So God is going to help us in this. Amen? Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.